about sexual equality. It's not alien. This is why when I hear that they say it is feminism comes from the West, I start laughing. I tell them, read your history books, because it is a huge part of our history books. Now you have a taste of how sacred is used to block women from having political rights. I will go now to just say what is exactly the Arab world today and why it is so dynamical and so positively so. Well, what is the Arab world? To start with, what everyone here is talking about terrorism and violence, and but there is a lot of other stuff besides that. I will just tell you one thing. Number one, Arab world is very rich. It's very rich human resources and natural resources. Natural resources, Arab world is rich. 80% of world oil is in third world. And 81% of world consumption of oil is in developed industrialized world. So that makes you understand the wars and everything. One can appreciate that 53% of the world oil reserves in Arab states, 53% of the world is in Arab states. And Saudi Arabia alone has 26% of the world oil reserves. 13 countries among Arab states have oil. Unfortunately, Morocco doesn't. Yet, we have scientists here, and maybe they are looking into that. But the problem is inequality. Inequality between the regions and equality between classes. I'll give just one example. The GNP in the Emirates, the richest, is 130 times higher than in Somalia. 130 times than in Somalia. And you can see quickly all the movements of labor going, you know, the Egyptians and the Moroccans going to other Arab countries, going to Europe, all this labor force moving around the Mediterranean in very intricate political situations. And women are important. In Morocco, there is as much women immigrants as there is men. And not all of them go with their husbands. There is a lot of women who immigrate alone. The other thing you have about human resources, 102 million, grosso modo. But the majority of the population is young. This is the important thing. The group 0-24 years will reach 61% of the population in the year 2000. 61, that is two-thirds. So when you are talking about Arab women, you have to think that they are under 24 in their two-thirds. So this is an army of young men and women. Also, they are very well educated. The Arab world have invested heavily in education. It has one of the highest rate of students per population compared in third world. And it does compare with the Western states. And the women are part of it. So let's just say that the figure for USSR is 1,800 students for 100,000. For Egypt, it's 2,057 students. The number for Morocco is 820, with 1,093 for men and 500 for women. Jordan, 1,590 women, almost equal men and women. And now, these educated women have infiltrated heavily academia. Some examples: Egyptian universities, women teaching in Egyptian universities, 25%. You have to remember that in 1980, America, women in American universities are 24% on, I mean, that was similar. You have to remember that we only got education in the last decades, while American women got education for generations now. So this is going very quick in the Arab world. And these women are looking for jobs. And they are competing. I will give you, and I think I have, did I over? These women are not asking for little jobs. They are competing with men on all jobs. I will give you examples. From publicity in Moroccan journals, Le Matin du Sahara is official, the state magazine, daily. It says, important laboratoire pharmaceutique, important pharmaceutical laboratory, cherche jeune homme ou femme, entre 23 et 35. Pour poste de délégué médicaux, this laboratory is looking for young men or women, age 25-35, to be délégué médicaux, which is you go to buy medical products. Yes, medical sales persons, and you know where. For Agadir, Oujda and Casablanca. Now, if you know Morocco, Oujda is the most conservative, I hope there is no Oujdi here, place in Morocco. And they say it has to have its, le véhicule doit être en bon état. He or she have to have a car in good state. So it means that these women are going to be driving around the place, day and night, to get doing this job. This is important and significant, highly significant for job market in a Muslim country. And it means that now this talk about the veil is totalement dépassé, because really the stuff is that women are on the labor market, and that the laboratories and the firms, they like to use them because they are as good workers, and also they can pay them less, as you know. But more serious is the publicity about the army, the jobs in the army. I had prepared a lot of stuff on how much arms sales the Arab. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. The Arabs buy 40% of the arms sold in the world. 40%. When you know that the only group who is leading a battle are using stones. 40%. So here is now this army, this heavy militarization of the country. And I would like after to ask Americans to tell me how this, the heavy militarization of the American economy is affecting women's and men's situation. I'm going to tell you how it is affecting our situation. Now, this army is now the biggest employer. In Morocco, you see in the television, Royal Air Force. In the television, it's fantastic ads, like American, you know, you just look. And they say come and get education and so on. But they often add for men only, but not always. Why? Because all the telecommunication in Moroccan army, everyone knows now, is women. Pilots, women. A lot of pilots, a lot of all this. You know that Royal Air Maroc had two pilots on Le Boeing, on Moroccan Boeings. For 1 year, they kept it secret because they were afraid the Moroccan flying will object to that. So for 1 year, the Boeings were flown by 25 years old Moroccan women, and that was kept hidden from the public. Mais this avid concours, now here you see this in all the newspapers. Royaume du Maroc, Force Armée Royale, État-major général, avis de concours, number one, so because when you answer, you have to get the number so that they know for what they are, for which job you are answering. Licence en sciences économiques, licence of economic sciences, désireux de faire carrière d'officier d'administration dans les forces royales air. The people who want to do a career as officier d'administration, evidently a very important job in the Royal Air Force. So they tell you, être de nationalité marocaine, licencié, âge 18 ans, all this stuff. But they always add sex masculin. Why? Because when they have this concours, what is concours? Competition, you have yes, exam for the army, they are always surprised that there is 300 people, but 150 are women standing there with their diploma and everything they want to get in the army. Well, a lot of them do get in the army, but nevertheless, a lot of the jobs, they say sex masculin. Now you see in Moroccan streets, a lot of women with army tenue. Uniforms, and with these big things saying that they are gradé, not. but nevertheless, there is a lot of unequal employment for women because the army is the biggest now, the biggest employer. So I think I will stop here because I just had this thing about the media. The veil and the magic was about the media, that we have the highest to hide this economic dependency, this military dependency, because we are not investing in R&D, research in development. We are buying tanks and things and planes and giving jobs to Americans in American states, giving them jobs, paid by the Arab money. And you can imagine that this thing has to be hidden. So we have the right to this, what I call sacred television, which is a lot of religious, I call it, I have a good name for it. Media package Islam, that's the title. Religious programs in Arab controlled broadcasting, because of course all the radio and TV are state. More than 1/5 of Egypt annual radio broadcasting time was devoted, according to 1987 UNESCO statistical yearbook, to religious programs, and only 14% to cultural programs. This is Egypt, which needs so much education. And you know that religious education, you can get it at home, as we all know. And you would think that neighboring Israel, who claims religion as fundamental component of its mission civilisatrice in the area, would flood its citizens in religious programs. Well, no. You know, only 0.8% of its 35 34,000 yearly hours broadcast are devoted to religion, and 8% are devoted to education. I mean, I will stop here, because even socialist Algeria, socialist Algeria devotes, according to UNESCO, almost twice as much time to religious programs as it does to educational ones. And of course, the more you go to oil, Saudi Arabia, 30% of the programs are religion. And the rest is entertainment. D'accord. I think I should stop here. Thank you very much, and I could answer the question.
Yes, my question is very straightforward to you, Fatima, is that you clearly made a strong point that this is an affair of the Arab Muslim woman currently in the region. But you traced it back to the origin of Islam, and you correctly identified the misinterpretation of the real Islamic teachings. But you left maybe a little confusion about identifying Muslims and Islam. Would you like to make a clear message that then you agree that Islam has all the elements of democracy, if you want, in the Western sense? What you meant by non-democratic Islam means non-democratic Muslims, the way it's being practiced.
D'accord. Let's take five, and then we answer. So it's too clear about non-democratic Islam, it's not the religion, is it the people?
Right.
Islam and Muslims, yes.
I just want to share that using Islam and Arab, I want to really verify this a little bit, because I'm not sure this, they make it for Islam.
Yes,
strategies. You want strategies? Yes, maybe. I will answer quickly about Islam and Arab. I made, you always, when you were speaking, you made huge mistakes by not clarifying concepts. And that was a mistake I made. I should have clarified. Arab, when you say Arab, you are, there is much more Muslims. I mean, Islam is from Indonesia to Casablanca. So there is many nations which have nothing to do with Arabs who are Muslims, and Islam belongs to all of these people. And so when I am in this talk, I am speaking only on Arabs. And I have, and it is important, well, to start with, because I'm an Arab, I only know very well the Arab region. Yes, no, I mean, well, you are Muslim, by the way, this will bring us to the Muawiyah's question about Islam. You have to know one thing. You are a Muslim not by any choice. It is a legal fact. I am Muslim because I'm called Fatima. And because my father and mother, my father is called Hadi, and my mother is called Khadija, therefore I'm Muslim. And the Muslim law applies to you. It has nothing to do with choice. So it is a legal phenomena. It's a legal fact. And in fact, La Gauche Arabe, the Muslim left in general, made a big mistake, because they never came straightforward talking about laïcité of the state. Secularity of the state. Because they thought that, like the Marxists, Arab Marxists, I know their story, they were wiped out very quickly, because they thought that you can choose to be Marxist, but they were silly because, well, I am, I take back silly, but this, you can be Marxist, what you think has nothing to do with the legal fact that the Muslim law applies to you. Therefore, this is why it was an incredible, important thing they mistook, which is to clarify, and this is why Muawiyah's question is important, to clarify what Muslim means. And when you are talking, what are you talking about? You are talking about Islam as a state religion, which is, my state says, Morocco is a is an Arab state. By the way, Morocco, all of Moroccans have 80% Berber blood, which has nothing to do with Arab blood, but that's beyond the point, because Arab is a cultural claim. It's not ethnic claim. As you know, Sudanese are Arabs, although they are not from, they are culturally Arabs. But about this Muslim and Islam. So when I'm talking about Islam, the state says it is a Muslim state, and therefore it applies to me. In Morocco, you can either be of two religions. You cannot choose not to have a religion. You can only be a Jewish Moroccan or a Muslim Moroccan. We don't have Christians. You know that in other Arab states, I don't know how it goes, but you have many religions, but each religion has its law, I guess, apart in some states where they have secular law, in the not secular, but national, which applies to everyone regardless of religion. But anyway, in my part of the world, state says that it is Muslim. Therefore, it is theocracy, which means that you have no right to choose your religion. So, I am a Muslim by law. And also in the human rights, Article 18 says, among the human rights, you have the right to change religion, but all the Muslim states say, this one, you don't have the right. Because, of course, if you can choose, they cannot apply all this manipulation of the sacred against you. So the question at stake is secularity. the problem of secularity. Then, when they are saying that I, a Muslim in Morocco, I am atheist, because you hear very often that leftists, they say they are atheists. Well, this is totally stupid an argument, because how can you, atheism, you choose, but you cannot choose, because this is law. So this idea of saying that someone is atheist is very Western, actually, an argument. Now about the purdah. The purdah, you see, purdah is, I'll call it hijab. Purdah is from is Indian word. I like hijab because I know what it means. I have a whole leitmotiv on hijab, but I will not go into it. Maybe we'll get to talk about it later. But I think everyone, number one, everyone has the right to choose how they dress. And if a woman wants to dress with a hijab, she has the right to. If the woman wants to dress Western, she has the right to. And you know that in many states like Tunisia, a woman has no right to wear the hijab. And that many Tunisian women were wearing it to contest Bourguiba. So it was a political statement. And now this is one thing. The other thing is all women who are muhajjabat, it is a class phenomenon. You don't see peasants who are muhajjabat, because this is a class phenomena. It's a middle-class educated women, city women. Women workers in Morocco and peasants, I never saw them muhajjabat. So it is very class-bound. Now about... And also, you have no idea. I went to Pakistan. This thing about, well, I am putting this because I was so cold, but you, actually, I have an afro. But in Pakistan, if you have, each movement you do with the scarf has a meaning. What is the Gupta? The Gupta. Every movement, if you wear the scarf this way, it means that you are fundamentalist. If you wear it little this way, it means that you are westernized. So it is a whole symbolic. And I think someone has to make, well, I think there is films, Fernier's films, Elizabeth Fernier's films on this hijab, clarifies some of the symbolics about body. I mean, the feminists here want to arrange a meeting about how to dress. For feminists have really to have very important input from Muslim world. Last thing is Ni'mat's question about strategy. Well, Ni'mat, I have an article, I will leave it here. UNESCO organized a program called Women in History. And the question was, is it possible to use women's to use history as a way to strengthen the grounds and the claims of women to human rights. And I wrote a paper, actually this is the one I was reading from, which is called Women in Muslim History, Prospective, what was the title? Women in Muslim History, Traditional Perspective and New Strategies, where I give information to start with on when you have, you know, in the Muslim world, we have a tradition of all big historians, all major historians, males, have to devote, if they are good historians, one book to women's biographies, because it is a genre. It is a genre. So we have every century women's biographies of celebrities. So you can study has to, and I give a suggestion that a study has to be made of these women's biographies. And also I give information on the latest, on beginning of the century, beginning of the century scholarship done by many women from different Muslim, there is Turks, Iranians, Urdu, I mean you can name it, and there is a lot of scholarship in all these languages on Muslim women. Beginning of the 19th century, and I give some of the references in the articles. And all these women historians I give about five, I don't know what I know that one is Syrian, like Shihabi. I know one works from Libya, I know one is in Morocco, but no one knows where they are. And they don't come to these international meetings because they only know Arabic, and they are very traditional scholars who are in the books, you know, and they don't go into these international or even national meetings. I never seen any one of them, but they are very important, and you can get the names. And actually, I give workshops to be done on these women and this scholarship, which is already there. Voilà, merci.
Yes.
No, no, excuse me, no, you can't. We can't have a dialogue. No, we'll have it later.
Not answer my question. You have put three major criteria for testing how the woman in Islam, and you went back and you agreed that Islam has all the seen and the right thing there that means misinterpreted over the century, whether by individual ulama or common people or by the state that declare themselves Muslim. But please, I would like to hear it from your mouth. You agree then that Islam has all the seeds of the right thing, the right stuff, call it the right stuff. But you are somehow trying not to say it. You are afraid to say it?
Yes, no. Muawiyah, I am not afraid to say what you want me to say. I am just trying not to say what you want me to say, because that's what freedom is about. And you see... No. I'll tell you. Attends. This is very important. I will tell you something very, very important, which is that Muslim men have to live now with the fact that Muslim women, at least educated ones, because unfortunately there is a lot of uneducated women still, but the educated ones, they are no more saying what the men want them to say. This is one thing. Now the other thing is my attitude towards Islam, because that's what is bothering you. Now, it is so funny that you'll be bothered while all what I said, and if you read my work, you see, me, I choose to live in Rabat, Morocco. I choose to stay there. I was here, I got a PhD from an American university, and I had a lot of offers. And I have, what is the other one? L'Université French, Sorbonne. This is very good things, and I was asked to get a lot of jobs in international organizations. I decided to go to Morocco and at the university where I didn't have the right to stand still. He knows, Bansari, who is here, who has this center which is important for us, which started to do research, but before we didn't have even the rights when you were working at the university to have stances. You have to fight for them. And I did it. And it means it is a big statement about my relation to the Arab world and my relation to my country and my relation to Islam. And I am one of the important, you see, while I started in understanding how important Islam as a memoir. Now we have to explain this. I am for Islam as a memoir, as a memory, because, I mean, a human society needs its memoir, its past. It's like a human being. If you lose your past, what do they call them, the ones who don't have past? Amnesia. you are sick. It is the same thing for the Arab world. So for me, it is important that we regain our memoir and our Muslim memoir. But I am not for linking Islam with politics. I am from secular state because I don't trust men manipulating Islam. You see, that's the thing. Now about this memoir, I understood how important it was because I didn't tell you about the media business, but when I lived in America 3 years, that was the first time I realized that I was a Muslim in the memoir sense, that I have a centuries of fantastic civilization to draw on, to face what was going on. I didn't like American advertising. I thought it was terrible. And we have Coca-Cola, you know, that music, we have it in Arabic in Morocco. So this is really a fact that we are invaded by this advertising, by Western advertising. And all we have to do is to unearth our memoir, which necessarily is Muslim. But what is going on is that they only now, what is going on is they want to unearth oppressive memoir of Islam. They don't want to hear about liberating memoir of Islam, about all this scholarship about freedom and contesting the leader and the right to contest the leader and that there is no infallibility and so on. This is not an Islam people want to, because now when I hear someone says, I am a Muslim, I say, oh, what does he want to do with me again? Because they tell you, because they want to take your voice and speak in your name. Merci beaucoup.